My mom called recently, and in the course of our conversation, she said, "My friends all tell me they wake up with you every day." And I thought to myself, "You wake up with my daughter?" But then it hit me, they were all talking about your news show. And then she added, "Honey, I think you might be famous." I know, Mom, it's so crazy. We both laughed at the idea. My mom wasn't the first to say something like this to me. Not long after my daughter was born, I was talking to a group of girlfriends about schools, and I expressed my apprehension about getting Hayden into the right one. "Oh, you won't have a problem," one said. "You're a daytime news anchor." "Yes, but I don't feel that makes any difference," I replied. They all tried to set me straight. "Ainsley, you have to see yourself the way others see you." "I don't think that's right. I may have a very visible job that allows more than 1 million viewers to invite me and my fellow anchors into their homes every morning, but that doesn't make me famous, nor does my job entitle me to any kind of special privileges. When I think of the position that's been entrusted to me, I feel a great weight of responsibility. Not a day goes by that I don't look at myself in the mirror and ask God, why me? Why did you choose me, Ainsley Earhart from Columbia, South Carolina, to be one of a handful of female national news anchors? I don't know the complete answer to this question, except to say that God put me here for a reason, and that reason has nothing to do with me becoming famous. Now, I have to admit that I didn't always feel this way. When I was 5 years old, I remember watching the opening of the Oscars with my mother and crying as I watched celebrities walk in on the red carpet. Why would any child cry watching the Oscars? For me, the reason was simple. I wanted to be there so badly that I burst into tears. I remember telling my mother that someday I was going to live in California and be a famous actress. "California," my mother replied. "Life's a beach there." I had no idea what that meant. Around the same time, my siblings and I were looked after by a wonderful lady named Miriam or Mimi Grant until my mom got home from work. Every day, when she would put us down for our naps, she turned on the television to watch her soap operas. I knew about soaps because my great-grandmother called them the stories and always told my mother they were sinful. My great-grandmother's warning didn't stop me from sneaking out of my bed and tiptoeing into the den behind our babysitter where she couldn't see me and watching them. The actors were all beautiful and seemed to have perfect lives. The entire idea of being in front of the camera seemed so romantic. Deep down, I just knew that that would be me someday, either in front of the camera or on the stage. My parents indulged my fantasies to a point. I attended theater camps and classes growing up, but there was never any talk of me making a life out of acting. My parents were much too practical and grounded for that. I actually got my chance to be in the movies while I was still in middle school. Twice. The first time occurred when Disney came to South Carolina to shoot a movie set in the 1930s called Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. As soon as I heard they needed extras, I was determined to land a part. I went to the auditions and was selected to be one of the kids in the crowd when the female star's love interest, Michael Schoefling, was getting into an argument with a group of men at a local fair. Years before, he had been the actor in 16 Candles who kissed Molly Ringwald at the end of the movie and was just so handsome to me at the time. Actually, being chosen to be a child in the crowd made my little middle school heart race. I just knew that this was going to be my big break and one of the directors was going to notice me. And they did. They needed a girl for a larger part than just a face in the crowd, and this role would actually get a line or two. One of the directors pulled me out of the crowd of extras along with another girl. I was thrilled that this was my chance. But then I gave them a big smile, and they saw the braces on my teeth. "She can't do it," they said. "Braces don't fit the time period." I was heartbroken. Instead of a speaking part, I ended up in the background wearing a red dress and eating cotton candy. My second time came in a movie about college football called The Program. This one starred Halle Berry and James Caan. The movie auditions and information made the local news because it was filmed in my hometown and scenes were shot at the University of South Carolina's Williams-Brice Stadium. Since this movie was set in the present, my braces weren't a problem. I went to the auditions with a head full of dreams. However, once again, I was just a face in the crowd in a background filled with extras.